On April 3rd, 2018, I had the opportunity to interview Jamie McAtee, the founder of Rescue for All at Nine Mile Falls in Spokane, Washington. Along with us were four of her dogs, Hadley, Weston, Daddy, and Brinkley. As a general note, please be advised that this interview contains profanity. In addition, there are some loud spurts of audio when McAtee calls for one of her dogs. Here's our conversation.
I can either talk or you can ask her.
Yeah, well, I mean, my first question, and I know you talked a little bit about this in class, is what's your story from before this?
Before this?
Yes.
Well, I was this stupid kid, if you want to go all the way back. I was this kid who, like, we always had dogs and we always had cats. And Hadley! Very good. And I just would, like, pick up strays and bring them home. And my mom's like, stop taking people's dogs. Hadley's fucking outside. Whack. And then it developed into, kind of, I wanted to go to vet school, mm-hmm. and, I was smacked in the face with organic chemistry and failed out very quickly.
Yeah.
Cause I just don't think quantitatively.
Sure.
Is it easier if we stop? So I don't think quantitatively. It's just not innate to me at all. Mm-hmm. And so, and back in the day, we didn't have to take chemistry as a prereq for anything.
Uh-huh.
So I got into chemistry and just laughed my ass. So with that went my pioneering dream of being a veterinarian. Hadley! She's a willful little thing. Come! She's like, yeah, she's like. So I kind of like, at that point, so that was my sophomore year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so.
And where did you go?
University of Great Falls, which is, they renamed it. It's a Catholic university in Great Falls, Montana.
Okay.
So then I just kind of revamped what I was going to do with my life. I went into marketing and communications.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I can talk well.
Yeah.
And just kind of diverted from that into what I did professionally, which I went into sales,
mm-hmm.
and was in mortgage sales for Hadley. She's the one who always has to yell at. Good girl! Very good! Here. Yes. Good girl. And so I made a lot of money when I was 25. I moved from Montana to Sandpoint. And
are you originally from Montana?
From Montana, yeah. And then moved to Sandpoint and was there for 2.5 years. And then got my first big girl job for a multi-million dollar company and was outside sales and thought that life was all about making money and the brand of jeans you wore and what your hair looked like. And I was a super, super shitty person.
Mm-hmm.
Super shitty. So I just was like super materialistic. And in that environment, when I was in the mortgage industry, everyone else is too. So it was all about how expensive your car was, all of this stuff. So the universe has this weird way of smiting you, mm-hmm. when you get a little too big for your britches. So I, 2008, was when like the whole debacle of the mortgage industry happened.
Mm-hmm.
And Hadley! And I lost my job and my company went bankrupt. And she's just like, you have to watch for like the little tail. And I don't really expect her to be close to me. So I'm like, run all your energy out. I don't care. So I lost everything. I lost, mm-hmm. all of my company stock. I lost majority of my retirement because I just put it in company stock. I didn't save a dime. I spent basically everything because when you're making, you know, anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 a month as a 26-year-old, you're just like, yeah,
right.
drunk all the time. And it was just a really not conducive environment to being a decent human being. So I got smited, lost my job. It was the first time ever since I've been being in Montana. I was raised by a single mom. So we always like, if you wanted something, you had to work for it. You had to buy it yourself. So quickly lost everything. And then I didn't have a job and I couldn't find a job. So it was the first time since I was like 13, you know, mm-hmm. from babysitting that I didn't have a job. And I was like, and no one at the time was hiring. And especially not in the industry I came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this like 6 months of where like trying to find a job, and I didn't know about unemployment, and people were like, you need to go and get on unemployment. I'm like, why? So they can make me feel like a big piece of shit that I never feel like, so they can tell me. And so they're like, no, you get money. And I was like, pull the phone. They pay you to be unemployed? What? Yeah. That's crazy. So I was like, sweet. So then I was like, okay, so at least that's gonna give me some reprieve. And then just slowly as I, losing pretty much everything, I was like, huh, so this stuff doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, she had always like taught us like, if money's your biggest issue, it'll always resolve itself, but it's just this, the whoever you are as a person is basically, you know, what you're gonna come down to.
Mm-hmm.
Hi. And so I just really was kind of like, okay, so fantastic. So I just sat around for 6 months and got super depressed and was this like, and I had 2 dogs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wasn't like I was, you know, sitting around all the time. And I finally just was like, okay, so what can I do? I don't really like people. So,
right?
People are dicks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, what can I do? So I just really was like, I'll start volunteering at a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So I specifically chose the Spokane Humane Society because they are a limited acceptance facility, which me, and I didn't know all of this at the time. It's just the weird way that like divine intervention, whatever you believe in,
right.
Like just the way that the universe takes you to places where you can get your best knowledge or whatever. So went to the Humane Society, went through their volunteer orientation. The very first hour that I was there, their volunteer coordinator and foster coordinator was like, so we have these 4 foster kittens that have ringworm, and if they don't leave the facility, they're going to be euthanized. And I was like,
how dare.
Put them in the car. Right, yeah. Like, I will take them. So, and ringworm, and I didn't know it at the time. Like, I didn't care that they had ringworm. Ringworm's super contagious. You've probably heard of it. You went through high school and all, like, the wrestlers, and it's super just, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I took home these kittens, and they were like 3 weeks old, and I have 2 cats. Well, I had a cat at the time, and then brought them home and go play, go, we're here to run. They're like, yeah, but you're standing here, we can't do it without you. So brought these kittens home and put them in my basement bathroom and was like, huh, this is what it's all about. And then I basically, for the next, 6-9 months, I utilized, sounds so like it was for my benefit, but I just went to the shelter every single day and walked, and I used it as like my way to have a job. If no one was going to pay me, then this is what I was going to do to be able to, it wasn't like logistically where I was like, you know, this is what I'm going to do. It was just kind of, I didn't want to be this depressed person and sit at home and be like, really, it's still bad. Because my life wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So I just started going there and walking dogs. Like I said, I had the cats at home, so I didn't need to go in and pet cats all day. But I just started walking dogs. And I've always had this gravitational pull to dogs that are messed up. Whether it's, and it's like, I've had dogs that were my vets before were like, they're super messed up. I'm like, the universe brings them to me because they know that I won't like euthanize them. I'll like, we'll figure it out. So sorry, that's how I ended up with him. So I just started volunteering and just walking dogs, like walking the dogs that no one else wanted to walk, the dogs that like are pull or rude or they had bite cases or whatever. And I had to earn my way into that. So I just started like really immersing myself in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then just started like being friends with the staff that was there and, ended up like being a part of that kind of their little culture that they had. And, then I really realized that I tried for a very brief amount of time to actually work there and they pay minimum wage. So I went from making 6 figures to making, you know, trying to live on minimum wage. And I was like, yeah, this is not going to work out. So, I just fostered and I brought home my very first foster dog. So I brought home the kittens in October 17th. Doesn't matter. I just remember that day. Pivotal moment in my life. And then I brought home my very first foster dog, which was Honey, in December.
Mm-hmm.
And she was my very first pit. I'd never, like, other than the pits that were there, and I didn't care about breed. Hadley! I didn't care.
Yeah.
I was just like, it's a dog. I don't really give a shit about what its breed is.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always had shepherds at the time. Shepherd mixes. I had a boxer. She But, and I didn't have this fear. So, like, I didn't care what a dog looked like behind a fence. I was like, well, I'll just walk it. It's fine. I'm stupidity. I don't know what. So then, that just slowly got to being where they had medical cases that needed to be fostered. Honey was, a little yellow pit, and she was a little yellow lab pitty. And, she was extremely shut down. She was Hadley. She wouldn't make eye contact. She was just like in a corner, like shaking. Mm-hmm. Jenna, the foster coordinator, was like, hey, do you want to foster this puppy?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, sure. So I brought her home, had her for 6 weeks, and I lost her. She jumped out of my car. She jumped out of my car window. Cause at the time I had a 120-pound German Shepherd.
Uh-huh.
And then I had this other big lanky dog, Duchess.
Yeah.
And so she jumped out of my car at Safeway on Wellesley and was gone for 6 weeks in the middle of winter. And I was like,
oh my God,
I just lost my foster dog. Hyperventilating, bawling, couldn't find her anywhere. And she's not a dog where she was extremely fearful of people. And mm-hmm. so I was like, crap. So couldn't find her. Fostered another pity during the time that we couldn't find her. And so that was in January. And then in March, she was a tenth of a mile from my house. And in March, there was a neighbor who had seen her and said, if somebody doesn't come get this dog, it would shoot her. I'm like, hey, this is cool. So we ended up trapping her. I got her back. And then I ended up keeping her. I ended up adopting her because I felt like guilt-ridden. I was like, I'm so sorry. Hadley! She was my very first pit. She was my very first, like, behavior modification dog. Good boy. He's such a good dog. Hadley! Oh, she's eating something. She'll chase a deer, and she'll be gone. That's why she has an e-collar on, because she will not come back. Very good. And so, yeah, and then it just kind of ended up where I would, like, foster dogs that needed manners or needed just whatever they needed, and not a lot of people are willing to, like, take on medical, especially behavioral. It's really hard to find someone that will take on a behavior dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started doing that, and then Brinkley! And then I started noticing these dogs. And so there's K1 in the shelter, and then there's K2. Doesn't really matter other than for the logistics of the story. Good girl! K2 is where the dogs that are waiting for medical, or they, you know, they have been deemed like they can't go up for adoption. And so I noticed that there's these dogs back there that had bite reports.
Mm-hmm.
So, and back then, this was, 2012, and I started noticing that these dogs that had bite reports, no rescues would take. Didn't matter what the dog was. No one would even evaluate that. And they had a bite case. They were basically like, I can't take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
So the first dog that I ever took, so it was kind of one of those things where I was like, I thought it was like this. It had to be this big, huge thing where you had to, she backwards sneezes. She's weird. Where it had to be this thing where you had to have this facility and you had to have all this money. And I had this thing built up in my head, and not starting small. I just had this, well, you have to have, like, an investor. And mm-hmm. I just had this imaginary epiphany of why this was so big. And I was like, she can do it. I can totally fucking do it.
Yeah.
So then I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea on how to, what went into being a nonprofit, what went into being a business, what went into managing. Like, I had taken business classes in school, but I never really was like, I never wanted to be self-employed. I never wanted to be my own boss. I was like, I will always work for a large company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just weird when you say never. And so I always knew what I wanted to call it. And so the Rescue for All ended up as an adaptation from the Pledge of Allegiance. So where it's like, and justice for all. Mm-hmm. And I always like, I don't know why. And so then the Rescue for All. So then I made this little, I don't know it by heart. I should. Whatever, it's on our website, but it's basically End Rescue for All, because I don't discriminate based on breed. I don't discriminate based on, like, if you've bitten someone or if you have medical issues or so I just was, it was something that resonated with me, and just kind of stepped out in faith and did it. And then at the time I had been transitioning from sales into being self-employed in graphic design.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing, like, all of this stuff that I never wanted to do.
Sure.
And So that was a slow transition. So then, because I still needed the money from mm-hmm. being employed to be able to live,
right.
and then beg my friends and family. So I started, June of 2013 is when I had the original, like, okay, I think I can do this. And then, August of 2013 is when I actually got the business license and had no idea how much it would resonate with my family and my friends. I wasn't expecting anyone to give me any money. I was like, okay, I have to figure this out. I had to figure this out on my own and make it work.
About a week later, I had the opportunity to speak to Shannon Reed, one of the volunteers that worked with Jamie and Rescue for All. Here's our phone call.
Hello.
Hi, is this Shannon?
It is.
Hi there, it's Michael from Gonzaga.
Hi, Michael.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good. Thanks good. So much for taking the time to talk to me.
Uh-huh.
So for my piece, I'm just doing a feature on Jamie, so pretty much who she is, where her passions lie, how and why Rescue for All became her life, essentially. So kind of just to begin, how and when did you start working with Jamie and with Rescue for All?
I met Jamie probably 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we met in a training class.
Okay.
And that we were both attending with our dogs and became friends. And then, probably about 2 years ago is when I started, volunteering. I started out by fostering for Rescue for All.
Okay.
And then just got more and more involved.
So, what was your first impression of Jamie, in that class? And then maybe when you started actually working with her more with Rescue for All.
So you've met Jamie, right?
I have. Yeah. Multiple times.
So Jamie fills a room.
Yes.
Because she's just, her personality is very big and she's very, you know, gregarious and outgoing and stuff. So that definitely is what, you know, stood out in a class of, you know, 10 people and 10 dogs.
Right.
And, you know, our initial meeting was because she was giving my dog a voice mm-hmm. And, you know, talking for them. And it was pretty funny. Let's see, what was the second part of the question? Oh, after I've known her.
Right. Now working with her.
So then, you know, got to know her and her organization and stuff. And just a super genuine mm-hmm. person who, you know, says it like it is and is following this passion of hers with gusto.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing of what she's been able to do in the short time
right.
that she's had Rescue for All up and running. And just, you know, and I think people, the general public sees her and resonates with her because she is so genuine and so passionate and, has followed this, you know, dream of hers.
Right.
And, you know, continues to evolve over mm-hmm. time. And, but she just keeps going and sometimes it's really hard.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know, but, you know, that she always just, you know, keeps doing it for the animals.
Mm-hmm.